What's up, boys and girls? This episode, I want to talk about debt. I think that a lot of professionals, especially that are carrying student loan debt, have a misunderstanding of the way that debt is keeping them doing the thing that they don't want to do. So I talk to a lot of professionals, a lot of people that are making a lot of money from a salary standpoint, 150, 250, 350 grand a year. But they still carry 50 grand, 100 grand, 150 grand worth of student loan debt, sometimes credit card debt. Although credit card debt, high interest stuff that's interest rates in the teens plus, I think is a different type of debt that you just have to pay off. Anything that's under 10%, I think is debt that you should view differently than you're currently viewing it. The way that most people think about their student loan debt, debt that's in the 10%, that's the only kind of debt, and also a mortgage, I guess, would be something else, is they say, I need to keep doing this thing that I hate doing because I have this debt, and this debt is the thing that limits the flexibility that I have to make future decisions. So they say, you know, if another 5 years go and I keep getting a 5 or 10% salary boost, I'll be able to pay off my debt, and then in another 5 or 6 years, then once I'm debt free, I'll be able to do the thing that I want to do. And I think it's a sneaky way that your brain is getting you to not work on the thing that you're supposed to be working on, because you push out your responsibility to go out and actually learn how to make a second income and learn how to make more money. Because you just say, oh, I'm completely trapped right now by this debt. And so once that's gone, then I'll start making moves. Because right now I can't afford to make moves because this debt is just a non-starter for me. And I think the principle is you have to start anything that you're using as a release valve, as an excuse for you to not take action on things, is something that it has to be reframed for you. And so I want to try to reframe debt the best I can. If you have student loan debt, again, under 10% credit card debt, you just need to pay off. If you have student loan debt, here's something that I want you to at least think about. If you start paying the minimums on that and start building up a cash reserve, so instead of just throwing all of your excess cash to your student loans, however frequently you can. If you start building up cash, 30 grand, 50 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand, whatever it is in your cash reserve, and you start with the idea, what is the safest way that I can deploy this 10, 20, 30, 50 grand and make sure that I'm getting at least a return on my cash that's sufficient to pay off my debt. So that way an investment is paying off my student loans as opposed to my time paying off my student loans. Because what you don't think about, the way that you're not pricing it, is you're not saying time is the most valuable resource that I have. And so paying off my student debt with my time is the most expensive way to pay off my student loan debt that I can think of. People get, they start thinking about the ways that they could lose money. And it puts them in a default defensive mode by saying, I just need to pay off my debt because that's the only it's a for sure 6 or 7% return, whatever your interest rate is. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to get that type of return anywhere else in the market. But what you're not pricing is it's not really a return because it's not a passive investment. It's the most active investment that you're making. It's your time, and you're paying it off with post-tax dollars. So you're also paying it with a 20, 30, or 35% hit to whatever the income is that you're paying your debt off with. So it's more expensive than you think it is. That's the first part. The second part is, in order to ultimately do the thing that you want to do, it is true that you need to figure out a way to get your debt serviced, because usually most people, if they want to do something other than the thing that they're doing, if you're a lawyer and you want to be an investor or a real estate guy, If you're a doctor and you don't want to be a slave to the hospital all the time, you have to figure out you don't have an expense problem. You usually have an income problem. You need to make more money that isn't taxed at the same rate that you're getting taxed at right now. And so you have to learn how to play offense. You have to learn how to assess and minimize risk. And so when you make the shift of starting to pay less down on your student loan debt, I think it's a move that triggers you to say, okay, now I have a real cost on this cash. Now I need to get serious about learning how to deploy this in a way that can pay off my student loans. And it puts you in an active state. It makes it so you no longer have this excuse of, well, I have no cash. I have no cash because I'm paying off my debt. I'll pay off my debt in 5 years from now. So in 5 years, I'll get serious about trying to figure out the thing that I want to do. Once you start paying minimums on that and you start building up a little cash reserve, then you say, crap, I got 20 grand in my bank account that I need to start figuring out how to use in a way that's smart and a way that I can pay off my loans with it. So the next question becomes, how is it that you should deploy those things? What are the things that you should be looking at in order to spend that cash in a way that you can service your student loan debt? I think that there are three buckets, three things to look at, three things that are pretty safe. I think if you want to be, if you're entrepreneurial, if you're more creative, then I think physical product businesses, information businesses, content sites, I think all those are good. If those are things that you're interested in, something that you want to look at is probably QuietLight Brokerage. I think, and I've said this before, I think one of the most useful ways to start getting your head around how businesses work, if it's not something that you spent time looking at, is start looking at businesses that are for sale. QuietLight Brokerage is probably one of the best places that you can look at businesses, and you need to start learning the way that how profitable certain types of businesses are and aren't. So that's something that you can start for cheap if that's something that you're interested in. The other two buckets, I think, are real estate buckets. If you want to be a passive investor, a lot of places, if you start getting in with real estate people, they'll give you a preferred return, 6 to 8% preferred return if they're using your money to fund certain of their deals. And this, you just have to be careful and you have to get to a point that you trust these people. And real estate is a place that a lot of people get scammed. And I assume that the people listening to this are mostly people that can do diligence and understand, you know, the things to make sure that you don't get scammed. Don't give people that you've never met money. And so that's the caveat to that. But I think that all of those caveats, getting scammed, losing money, you know, investing in something and it being some Nigerian prince scheme, I think all of those fears are things that get people to just never get started because it feels like this mountain that's too hard to climb, so you just don't start, and so you pay off your debt. And I think you have to be a little bit more discerning than that and spend more time understanding those things because those are skills that you need to learn in your life anyway. And you don't need to be debt-free before you start learning them. And then the third bucket that I think is a pretty safe way for people to make money is buying businesses. And that requires usually finding a partner that's willing to do that with you. And again, there's no simple answer. There's no I don't have any answer that's just buy this stock and let it appreciate because I've never done that before. And those are things that I don't think that those are risk-free ways to do it. But I do think that people that are paying off debt and thinking that once debt is paid off, that that then they'll be able to live the life that they want. I think that what they find is that once debt is paid off, usually, if you wait another 5 or 6 years, there's lifestyle improvements that people you tend to make along the way that make it really hard for them to get out, and they increase their opportunity cost of getting out in a way that makes it still hard when you're 37, 38, 39, 40. The story that used to be, I have this student loan debt, so I can't get out. That story changes to I make too much money that I could never replace in something else, and I don't know how to get out. So those are some of my quick thoughts on student loan debt. And again, this is debt that's under 10%. I think if you, I say, spend 3 or 4 months saving up and spending more time thinking about how to deploy some cash. Think of cash as the oxygen that will give you the runway to get out of the thing that you're trying to do. And if after 3 months or after 6 months and after some time really spending the time to try to get educated on how to deploy cash, if you don't find something, if you don't find an opportunity, then spend that cash to pay off your student loan debt like you would have otherwise. And it may be $300 or $400 more in interest that accrued. I don't even think it's that much. But if you have to open yourself up to the opportunity. And in order to be open to the opportunity, you have to start making moves that makes it possible for you to seize on an opportunity once the opportunity presents itself. Meaning, if you have no cash to invest in an opportunity, you will not find any opportunity that will let you start making moves towards getting out of your job. There's